Now, over the last several years, several of us have heard Bishop Scott Jones on more than one occasion say that if the 1950s ever return, the church will be prepared. Now, one day I was sitting in a meeting, and what he said was, if 1957 ever comes back, the church will be prepared to serve. So, well, you know, okay. The next meeting I sat in, and he said the same comment. He once again said, if 1957 ever returns. Being the curious person I am, I finally decided that since he said it twice, I was going to find out what happened in 1957. I Googled it. Now, do any of you remember 1957? Well, it was not a stellar year. 1957. 9 black students attempted to enroll in a previously all-white high school in Little Rock, Arkansas. The building was surrounded by an angry mob who refused to move. The standoff finally ended when President Dwight D. Eisenhower called in federal troops to restore order and protect the 9 students. And while the civil rights movement was gaining momentum in this country, Europe had its own challenges. On March 25th of that year, the Treaty of Rome was established. That meant that the European Economic Community came into existence and the European Atomic Community. Now, there were 6 countries represented at that particular summit. One that was conspicuously absent was Britain. One has to wonder if that was due to the fact that Britain was preparing to test its first hydrogen bomb, despite objections from the newly created Atomic Energy Agency. The arms race was on. But just when people in 1957 thought it couldn't get much worse, who remembers the really big event of that year? Sputnik. Russia launched Sputnik, the first successful satellite that circled the world. Now, we had nuclear energy being made into bombs on Earth, and everyone knew that whoever controlled the last frontier was going to control the world, and it was the Soviet Union. The Christian community reacted. It's not surprising that some in the religious world declared that humankind's sins have become so great. The chasm between God and humanity had become so wide, there was no hope left. According to this group, the tribulation had begun. It would be only a matter of time before the world was consumed by the fires of hell, just as John had prophesied in the book of Revelation. Now, no one in the Christian community could deny that the world was becoming more complicated and in many ways more dangerous than it had ever been before. But what they could not agree on was what one side was saying, that God had given up on us, that we were doomed and all creation with us. As a matter of fact, one of the leading religious voices of the time was a Swedish theologian by the name of Karl Barth. In the fall of 1957, after the atomic bomb had been tested in Britain and Sputnik was flying around the Earth. As many were declaring that the tribulation had begun, Karl Barth delivered a sermon to the inmates at the Basel jail, of all places. And he entitled it, All. His one verse that the sermon was built on was Romans 11:32, one that Jim read just a moment ago. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. What's difficult for us to understand, and what's probably even more difficult for us to accept, is that all means all. No one, not one person, not one living creator, not one warfaring nation is excluded from the promise of salvation. All are prisoners. All are shown mercy. That means that none of us can ever be so good that we stand apart from all the others. All of those people that are beyond the love of Jesus Christ. Those that have committed heinous crimes and those who gain their success by harming others and not counting the cost. It means that no one has the right to stand apart from everyone else, because according to the scriptures, all have been imprisoned so all may be set free. If we have trouble accepting our own sinfulness, if we don't think we're that bad because all we've ever done was maybe tell a little white lie and twist the truth just a little bit, then we have trouble with that scripture. We have trouble understanding a God that would love those folk who so willingly and openly harm others. But there it is. All are prisoners, so all may be shown mercy. God's ways are bigger than our ways. God's ways are more merciful. God's way of thinking is far beyond ours. So when we find ourselves wondering just who will be saved, it's a question that's not ours to answer. It's God's and God's alone. All we have to do is accept the salvation that is ours and allow it as a possibility, even for those who seem beyond hope. It is not our right. It is not our position to decide how or even when the Holy Spirit will work in the lives of others. It is, however, our responsibility to believe, to pray, to encourage, and to live in such a way that others might decide to allow God's hand to touch their lives. All means all. And that may be the hardest thing we have to accept on this road to salvation. all means all. And just when we decide to be comfortable with our salvation and settle in next to our Lord, so we can discern what our ministry is, here comes Jesus saying, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them in also. Wouldn't you know it? We actually serve a God whose goal, whose only desire is to reconcile all creation to himself. And yes, all means all. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he might be merciful to all. Can you believe it? All means all. We are all forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.